So where does LSU stand amongst the rest of college football in terms of returning production for the 2023 season? And honestly, does it even matter? I'll explain on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. My name is Caroline Fenton. You can follow me on Twitter at CarolineFenton1. I appreciate y'all for hanging out with us today. Also, I want to let you know that today's edition of Locked On LSU is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. So I saw this on ESPN.com the other day. It's written by Bill Connolly, who gathered up a bunch of data to rank college football teams going into 2023 based off of returning production. So it's the 2023 SP Plus projections. So it's projections based off of offensive production returning and defensive production returning, and then though putting those two together, kind of getting the average for the percentage of production returning in 2023. So it's not necessarily percentage of your roster returning in 2023. It's really not that at all. It's percentage of your offensive and defensive production. So if your leading receiver, leading rusher, leading sacker is returning, that adds up to more percentage-wise in terms of returning production. So, of course, the first thing I looked for, it was LSU, to see where LSU stood in terms of returning production in 2023. And LSU is ranked 32nd in college football in terms of returning production, which isn't bad. It's not great. 81% of the offensive production is returning. That's 10th in college football. But what's really bringing the average down is defensive production, 60%. That ranks 72nd in college football. So, you know, offense, I think we can feel pretty good about it. You know, I'll get into offense next. You got your starting quarterback returning, your backup quarterback returning. You've got your leading rusher returning. You got your leading receiver returning. You got your left and right tackle returning. Really, overall, as a whole, of course, there are pieces, specifically interior offensive line, maybe a couple running backs, some tight ends. You know, your leading, your top tight end coming back. You can add some more depth there, but depth is different than returning production. So I think offensively, overall, you can feel pretty good about it. But I wanted to look into the returning defensive production and just kind of show why I think these rankings are so flawed and why I think that these rankings of returning percentage of returning production is a really skewed way of looking at projections for 2023. And in this article, it by no means says that, oh, since, for example, Florida State, which I want to get into coming up next, has the most returning production coming back next year, or percentage of returning production coming back next year, that means that they're going to be the top team in college football. That's not what this article is assuming. But, you know, I kind of want to break down why I think this is so flawed. Because, yeah, I mean, when you look at LSU's defense, you're losing your second leading sacker in B.J. Ojulari, who had been a cornerstone on this football team for the past couple of years. You're losing your leading tackler in Micah Baskerville, who's headed to the NFL next year. You're losing a majority of your defensive line in Ali Gay and Jaqueline Roy. You're losing Makai Garner in the secondary, Jay Ward and Jarquinon Converse in the secondary. So, yeah, you're losing a lot of starting pieces. You're losing, you know, one of the leaders, if not the biggest leader on the defense, in B.J. Ojulari. But also, look what you're returning. You're returning your leading sacker in Harold Perkins, who I think has a very good case to be the best defensive player in college football in 2023. He was writing that resume in 2022. So, and if you look at what Harold Perkins did in year one, just imagine how much more he can do in year two. Now, again, I say this all the time. Success is not linear. And that is a statement for teams as a whole, but also for individual players. You know, just because Harold Perkins had a monstrous year one doesn't mean that he's going to have even better year two. But it also means that he very much so could have a better year two. And then you are bringing back your second leading tackler in Greg Penn, who can only, I assume, build upon what he had in year two. You're bringing back your third and fourth leading sackers in Savion Jones and Mekhi Wingo. And then also, it doesn't take into account the fact that Mason Smith is coming back in 2023. So that he's not even being considered in these rankings of percentage of returning production, because Mason Smith didn't have any production in 2022. So, you know, he's not even considered in these projections. And then you're bringing him back in 2023. I think it is incredibly flawed for those reasons. Because you're bringing back so many pieces, and you're also bringing back a piece who was a complete non-factor in 2022 because of injury. And it also lacks context of the pieces that will be filling the holes that have left. Because, yeah, LSU is losing basically its entire secondary, pretty much, you know, especially the cornerback position. You're bringing back a true freshman in LaTerrence Welch, who saw very, very little production in year one. And you're also bringing back Seven Banks, who was pretty much sidelined with an injury the entire season. So you have to replace Mekhi Garner and Joe Fouché and Jarrett Bernard Converse in the secondary. But you're also bringing in a five-star in Denver Harris. But you're also bringing in one of the most highly sought-after corners in this transfer portal class in Zy Alexander. You're also bringing back a three-year starter in Deuce Chestnut, who was all ACC this past season, or maybe two seasons ago, whenever it was. So it only takes into account basically, one, what you're losing, and two, what you're bringing back of what you already had. It doesn't take into account what you're bringing in and what you're adding. And it doesn't claim to. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that these rankings, I don't think, should have any bearing or any bearing on your thoughts about this team. If you look at it and you say, oh my gosh, look at all these other teams. Look at all these other SEC teams ranked above LSU in the rankings. You look at Missouri's number 9 in percentage of returning production. You look at Texas A&M, who's number 7 on this list. You look at so many other teams ranked above LSU, Auburn, Ole Miss above LSU as well. But I just think it lacks so much context, and it lacks so much important information that should be considered when evaluating a team as a whole. Again, it doesn't say that it's evaluating a team as a whole, but I just think that if we're gonna look at this, we also have to take into account how much this list doesn't take into account. So you got a lot of pieces that aren't being considered. And also, let's look at some other teams. Let's look at some other teams ranked above LSU and below LSU and try and evaluate really how much we can, you know, how much inventory or how much real estate we can put into this list as well. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about the only app that you are going to need at your Super Bowl party. And I will tell you what, it is FanDuel, because it's America's number one sports book. We are super excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they are the number one sports book in America. It's FanDuel. So if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better, because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. You can download the FanDuel app now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Now, FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spreads to who will score the first touchdown. So the FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. And best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. My favorite thing about the FanDuel app is that it's super easy to navigate. The user interface is really easy. It loads quickly. It's easy to look around and see some of the prop bets, some of the other bets besides the point spread or besides the money line, and you get paid instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. But make sure you check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Everything that you need to know about college basketball all in one place. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, insiders, coaches, and players. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. So again, in this article put out on ESPN Plus by Bill Connolly, it's college football's teams returning production for the 2023 season. And LSU was ranked 32nd in returning production. I just think there are so many factors that aren't considered here. It's simply just returning production. That's it. It doesn't take into account anything else. Only returning production, not returning players. Returning production. So to kind of back up my point of how little I really think this means and how little bearing I think this has, and I don't want to undermine the importance of returning players and the importance of getting your veterans back and, you know, building upon year one or year two. I don't want to underestimate how important that is, but ranking them, I want to show how flawed I really do think it is. Let's look at Texas A&M, for example, because Texas A&M is one school that I think a lot of us as college football fans have pointed to say, oh my gosh, look at all these players leaving A&M. But A&M is ranked 7th in the country in returning production. Yet A&M had, I don't know the number off the top of my head, a whole heck of a lot of players transfer out of A&M. And it's because a lot of those players were from the 2022 class. A lot of those players maybe didn't see the field a lot and didn't produce a lot. So you're not, that's not taken into consideration in terms of returning production because those players didn't really produce much because they were young. Denver Harris, for example. Denver Harris served a 4-game suspension. So obviously he's not going to be part of that percentage because he didn't produce a lot. But it's not like you lose Denver Harris and get better. A&M is ranked 7th because A&M is bringing back 82% of the offensive, is returning 82% of the offensive production. And 77% of the defensive production. Okay, so A&M is bringing back 82% of the offensive production last year. You would say that's great. You know, it's a lot of consistency. That's some guys that you can build on from last year. Yeah, no, for sure. But A&M had the 93rd ranked offense in 2022 in all of college football. A&M ranked 12th in the SEC in yards per game. A&M ranked 13th. Second to last in the SEC in points per game. A&M was averaging just around 22, 23 points a game. And to put that in perspective, LSU was scoring about 35 points per game. So after a year where I don't think any of us felt, you know, wonderful about the offense, there were absolutely some days in against Florida, against Ole Miss, against Alabama, where the offense looked better than others. But overall, as a whole, I'm not giving the LSU offense an A+. And LSU was averaging more than 10 points per game more than A&M. So, yeah, A&M is returning 82% of the offensive production. But that offense wasn't producing very much last year. It was at the bottom of college football in terms of total offense. So there you go. It's kind of a painting an incorrect or not full picture of what A&M actually is returning. Let's look on the other side. A&M's in the top 10 in terms of returning offensive production. Let's look at Alabama, because Alabama is ranked 125th in college football in terms of total production that's returning. 43% of the offense is returning and 38% of the defensive production is returning. Yet Alabama still has the third best odds to win the national championship. So you see, this can be kind of skewed. And this kind of, I think, plays into the idea of like analytics. I know that there are some people that are so, let's go all in on analytics. Let's go, you know, balls to the wall in the numbers. And I think there are some people out there that are like, I don't need analytics. I have my eyes. You know, I can see it in front of me. I know what's right. And I think that this kind of shows that the truth is somewhere in the middle, because I think this is leaning into a whole lot of analytical breakdown. And I think that sometimes there are some rankings that get so caught up in the numbers that it doesn't portray a correct picture. Because, yeah, I mean, Alabama is returning 43% of its offensive production because its starting quarterback, who really carried the team, is going to the NFL drafts. So that's a whole lot of your offensive production that you're losing in just one player. And then your starting quarterback, Jalen Milroe, most likely, you know, there's going to be a little bit of a quarterback battle in the offseason for Alabama. I'll go with Jalen Milroe just because that was their backup this past year. That doesn't mean that Jalen Milroe won't be able to fill in that offensive production that Alabama has lost in Bryce Young. It doesn't mean that he's going to. I think Bryce Young was the best quarterback in college football this past year. It's going to – he got a whole big shoes to fill, Jalen Milroe. But I just think it's – this just isn't fair to base a team or to evaluate a team off of this. So, you know, if you're looking at it, if you're looking at LSU and you're thinking, oh, no, 72nd in college football and defensive percentage production return. I'm really struggling with all of these words, as you can tell. It's okay. Add a little bit of context to it. You're losing B.J. Ojulari, who was a very productive piece for your defense. But you're returning Harold Perkins, who was also a very productive part of your defense. But there is one aspect of this. It's a little bit scary to me. And that's Florida State, because Florida State is at the top of this list. And, you know, when looking at this list, I always want to give a little bit of context to it. So when I saw Florida State, and of course, that's who LSU opens up the 2023 season with on their home turf this time. It's not in Tallahassee, but it's in Florida, in Orlando. Florida State's bringing back the most production, percentage of production in college football next year. They are bringing back 80% of the offense. Well, that's scary to me because when finding context for that, Florida State had the number 10 ranked offense in college football this past year. They were averaging 485 yards per game. And in that offense, they returned their starting quarterback in Jordan Travis. In that returning production percentage, they bring back their leading rusher in Trey Benson, who rushed for almost 1,000 yards this past year. They bring back their leading receiver in Johnny Wilson. They bring back their third leading receiver in Micah Pittman. So see, there, with that context, that means something to me. That Florida State is bringing back 80% of their offensive production from a 10th-ranked offense in college football. See, that means way more to me than Texas A&M bringing back 82% of their offense when they had the 93rd-ranked offense in college football. Florida State's also bringing back 94% of their defensive production. And they had the number 15 total defense in college football. They were only giving up 322 yards per game, total yards per game. So that, now that means something to me. Now that scares me. And that's the team that LSU starts their season off with next year. Florida State's going to be getting a whole lot of love this offseason. And this is why. Because there is so much continuity from 2022 to 2023, and what they're bringing over to 2023 did really well in 2022. And you could be saying to yourself, okay, well, Florida State's returning their starting quarterback, their leading rusher, their leading receiver. Well, so is LSU. Totally fair point. That's so true. LSU's bringing back Jaden Daniels. LSU's bringing back their leading receiver. LSU's bringing back their leading rusher. But LSU didn't have the 10th ranked offense in college football this past year. That's the difference to me here. But it's still, you know, the same statement rings true. It's continuity is important. Continuity is important for Texas A&M as well. Don't know if you want to continue what you were doing last year if you're Texas A&M. So I hope that provided a little bit of clarity to my thoughts on this. I don't want to underestimate how important it is to bring guys back and to, you know, have continuity in the locker room. But look a little bit more into it to give yourself a little bit more context about what these numbers mean and really, honestly, how little they mean. But coming up next on Friday, there is going to be a very, very controversial topic voted on within the Louisiana legislature. And I want to get into what that means for LSU sports. And we'll get into that coming up next. So, you know, a couple years ago, it was voted to name the court at the PMAC, the Dale Brown Court, and rightfully so. Dale Brown is an absolute legend in LSU basketball, at LSU, in basketball. He got to the Final Four twice with LSU, twice in the 80s. He won almost 450 games. He coached for LSU for 25 years. Dale Brown is a legend. Dale Brown deserves to be immortal in that building. Because of what he did in that building. Because what he did in that building will be remembered for years and years and years. But what's being voted on tomorrow with the LSU Board of Supervisors is to change the name of the court from Dale Brown Court to Sue Gunter Court. Now, Sue Gunter was a women's basketball coach at LSU. Sue Gunter also found a whole lot of success within her time as the women's basketball coach at LSU. I just mentioned, you know, Dale Brown won almost 450 games at LSU, so did Sue Gunter. You know, Dale Brown won 448, Sue Gunter won 442. She went to the NCAA tournament 14 times. They both Dale Brown and Sue Gunter, belong in their respective Hall of Fames. They are in their respective Hall of Fames. And so why is the, maybe asking yourself, why is the vote to change the name of the court from Dale Brown Court to Sue Gunter Court such a point of contention if they're both deserving of it? This is my perspective of it. If you want to put Sue Gunter's name on the court, put it with Dale Brown's name. Because Dale Brown Court is a fairly new thing to LSU. And he deserves to be on that court. So does Sue Gunter. Make it Dale Brown Sue Gunter Court. It's a really, really bad look to take Dale Brown's name off of that court. It's a bad look. No matter if you change it, if you take it off, whatever it is, it's a really bad look. If that's me, I would think, well, what did I do? What did I do in the last few years to deserve to have my name taken off that court? I think that there is a wonderful trend with that history of taking names of buildings or memorials of people who don't really deserve that, whose names should not be immortalized. And I think that's a good thing whenever it deserves to be so. Dale Brown is a legend at LSU. And I know that he had his fair go of NCAA violations. Well, also remember that one of those NCAA violations was providing transportation for all of the players to go to a player's mom's funeral. He was a good man. He was a good coach. And he was good for LSU. Sue Gunter was a good woman. And she was a good coach. And she is a good figure for LSU. She has a statue in the PMAC. So the point of contention is not anti-Sue Gunter, but it is pro-Dale Brown. And I think that the LSU Board of Supervisors is doing LSU a disservice by putting those two up against one another. Why don't you have both? Honestly, because it's a bad look to take Dale Brown's name away. It's a good thing for Sue Gunter's name to be on the court, but to basically throw one away to add another one, I don't think is in good spirit. And I don't think it's necessarily right. That's my opinion on it. If you're gonna have one of them and you want the other one, do both of them. If you only want one, then why did you put one on there in the first place? Why did you put Dale Brown's name on there in the first place if it was just going to be thrown away a couple years later? They're both legends. Remember them both. There's no rule against that, at least to my knowledge. So if you've been wondering about, you know, I thought Tim Brando, he's been very outspoken about a lot of it. I know a lot of people who have been around LSU, especially LSU basketball for a very long time, have been very outspoken about this and honestly very hurt about this. And I don't blame them. If Dale Brown is a friend, a colleague, whatever it is, you want good things for somebody who deserves those things. Put them both on there. That's my take. That's my opinion. And everyone has the right to theirs as well. But that's going to do it for me today. Thank you for being Locked On LSU, your first listen today. So for your second listen, check out our brand new podcast, Locked On College Basketball. Experts Isaac Shade and Andy Patton bring you everything that you need to know on and off the court. Plus, you can hear from big name experts, coaches, and players throughout the college basketball landscape. Locked On College Basketball, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.